your Bibles, James in chapter number 3. James in chapter number 3 this morning. And we're excited to be in our series, The Secrets of Successful Families. And we started a lesson last week on positive communication and understanding the power of communication, what the Bible says about it, and how we can apply it to our lives. And so we're looking forward to finishing that lesson today. Thank God for you indeed, and pray that today will be a help and a blessing to you. Well, last week we began a journey talking about positive communication, and we were studying the scriptures where God told us that we were going to give an account for every word, even the words that we just kind of say without thinking about it, which are usually the words we regret anyway. And we learned that death and life are in the power of the tongue. We even were reading in James chapter 3 about horses that we can maneuver and guide and train, and great ships that can be turned about with such a small helm. But God said, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And we were reminded last Sunday the power of the tongue, the power of what we say, how we communicate, and the effect that it has on our home. And we were challenged that we want to have positive communication in our home. But in order to do that, we have to know potentially what we're doing that's wrong. And so we spent considerable time last Sunday talking about 6 traits of destructive communication. And we're not going to spend time on them today. Again, you can listen to the lesson last week if you were unable to be with us. But we talked about silence and verbal abuse and manipulation, erratic and inconsistent behavior, dishonesty, and secret keeping. And we were challenged as we went through those as to what was wrong and how we could correct those things in our communication habits in our home. Then we turned our attention to, all right, now how can we produce positive communication in our home? And we began looking at 4 important foundations for building an atmosphere of positive communication within our homes in which we live. And we began last week with looking at the foundation of a positive atmosphere and how we need a positive atmosphere in our home if we're going to have positive communication. And we studied that last week, and we kind of ended on that thought. And so today we're going to jump in and look at the other 3 foundations that we have to have existent in our home to have positive communication. Let's begin with looking at number 2, the foundation of fun and humor. The foundation of fun and humor. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. In Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healeth to the bones. Proverbs 12:25, heaviness is in the heart of a man, maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. There's something about the family having fun, the family just having a good time. And you know what? About now, where summer's about a few weeks off, and the kids are tired of school, and the schedule's kind of been running a bit hard, and everybody's a little on edge, or maybe it's getting a little warmer, or whatever the case may be. Sometimes the family just needs to have fun, needs to laugh. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And when we think about a good, strong home, and a home where we're communicating positively, we can never underestimate the fact that we just need humor. We just need to have fun. We need to enjoy our children, and we need to enjoy our home. And I want to challenge us this morning, make home fun. Think about it. Plan it. Sometimes we invest a lot of energy into our career and to our work, and what are we going to do this week, and what money are we going to make, and what new thing are we going to try, or whatever the case may be. And I think it's good. I think Christians ought to be hardworking people, and I think they ought to have a good testimony, and I think they ought to do well. But it should not be that all of our energy and creativity is funneled into something that just makes money and not into our home. Our home should be a fun place. We should put creativity and thought into what's family night going to be this week? When is it going to be? What are we going to do? Nobody likes to do the same thing over and over and over again. That's boring. Family night should not be boring. Family night should be fun. Family night should be the highlight of the week. Man, it's family night. And you might have more than one every week, but it's a time anticipated by the entire family. They can't wait for it to come. And it's always something enjoyable. And those don't just happen. All right, we scheduled a family night, and then we all come and we sit around and say, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? I mean, that's ingredient for disaster right there. You've got to plan it. You've got to come up with something fun. And think about it. You and your spouse potentially getting together and creatively thinking, what could we do? Maybe some inside games. Maybe going for a walk. Maybe going for a bike ride. Maybe going for a hike. Maybe taking the kids shopping or for a meal or something of this nature. But planning a family fun time. And we want to make sure that we're working at making our homes a place of family fun and humor. Now, be careful as you create this culture that you guard against sarcasm. Sarcasm has its place, but someone who is solely sarcastic, sometimes it is a form of humor that is really rooted in anger. Basically, that person only has sarcasm to bring because they've kind of got some unresolved issues inside. And yes, we want to have fun, and yes, we want it to be a humorous place, but it's not that maybe there's not some area for some sarcasm and ribbing one another, so to speak. But that should not be the sum total of all of your humorous input in your home. That should be balanced with some love and affirmation and things of this nature. And if that's not something you're good at, try it this week. For every sarcastic comment that comes to your mind, and for some of you, that's quite natural, try to think of something that's affirming, okay? Something that's nice. Something that would be a blessing to your spouse or to your child. It's just an idea, but I think it would help, all right? Also, humor in our home needs to be pure. Our home should not be a place for dirty jokes or unclean humor. I sometimes feel like we don't understand the power of our influence with our children. What we do in minority, our children will do in excess. What we allow in moderation, our children are going to run with for miles. And as you study family and things of this nature, very rarely do children have the same standard as their parents. It's always a little bit degraded. So think of it this way. My parents passed down some training to me, and now I'm passing down some things to my children. There are some things that I want to hold the line. And I don't want it to continue to be softened or weakened or lessened as we go along. And so I've got to be careful in my example in our home. And yes, it needs to be a place that's fun. And yes, it needs to be a place that the kids love to be. But we got to make sure it's a place that's pure and honoring before the Lord. And so we want to make sure that our humor is in the right taste. And I would just challenge you practically, be careful about what you're watching. Be careful about what you're renting and bringing into your home. Be careful about the games you're playing, whether it's a board game or a video game or whatever. If there's something there that's against the Word of God, don't do it. If there's something there that everybody couldn't laugh at if Jesus were sitting next to you, then don't do it. And He always is sitting next to us. I was talking with Donna, Roy and Adriana's daughter, yesterday, and she was telling me about the movie and then the jewelry that came out, WWJD, and how she appreciated the reminder to always ask the question, what would Jesus do? Great question for all of us to ask about everything we do. What would Jesus Christ do? We want to make sure that our humor is in line with something that would please and honor Him. And so a family needs to be a place of fun and humor. We need to create times of fun together. We need to develop these kinds of things. And when that isn't there, when the family is not having fun, when nobody is happy, then you have a home where problems just linger. And they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and your difficulties become dead ends because there's just no outlet. A family is a team of imperfect people living under the same roof, and you're going to have stuff that goes along with that. And just a little humor goes a long way. And I just want to encourage you, have fun. If you're struggling with a particular child and you just feel like you're hitting a roadblock all the time, go pick that child up from school. Take a 2-hour lunch and sit across the table at Wendy's and have a Frosty and have fun. Just spend time with them. Dad, take that girl and go get her nails done. Go buy her something. Have fun. Laugh. Have a good time. Make a memory. I'm not talking about rewarding good for evil. What I'm talking about is at times there's a relational disconnect because nobody's enjoying the relationship. And we've got to put the work and instigate the fun back to the relationship. Satan will always offer to our children a good time if they'll do wrong. They better know mom and dad are having a great time at home doing the right thing. I've told it before, but in the book that I read, it talks about a lot of Christian families on their rowboat going through life. And here comes the world passed on their Disney cruise liner with fireworks and slides and water pools and all the good time and the music and the lights and everybody had a great time. And we say to our kids, shame on you for wanting to get on that boat. You should love our rowboat. Now, I'm thankful I grew up on a good boat. I'm thankful the boat I grew up on didn't have some of the things the world had. But I'm thankful for parents who made the boat fun. And I'm thankful for parents who taught me that, yes, there is pleasure to sin for a season. But boy, going soul winning and bus calling with my dad and the projects of Chicago and seeing what happens when people get on that boat, those things I will never forget. And I'm thankful for parents who taught and trained. And I want our home to be a place of training, and I want it to be fun. And a place our kids enjoy to be. So we need an environment that is fun and humorous. We need to plan times to enjoy one another. Thirdly, we need the foundation of a safe and open sharing. The foundation of safe and open sharing. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking truth, the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We are to speak the truth in love. And a successful family is one where people can share their hearts. They can speak openly and honestly. Our home needs to be a sanctuary where every member of the home feels comfortable to share what they're talking about. You want to convince your spouse, you can talk about anything. You want to convince your children, you can talk to us about anything. It's wide open. Nothing is off limits. We can talk about whatever it is that's on your heart or that you're thinking about. Our children have got to know that. And we've got to cultivate that atmosphere in our home. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We don't want our family members to feel like we don't talk about that or don't mention that to me or whatever the case may be. We want to have an open environment of communication. Listen, we don't want our children getting the answers to their questions from television or school or friends or whatever the case may be. The questions that my children have and will have about life and relationships and sex and all these types of things throughout the years, I want that to come from me. That's my job. That's my role. But shame on me if I haven't created an atmosphere where we can talk, where I'm regularly spending time with them and engaging them in conversation, much greater than what test grade did you get or whatever, much greater than trying to do it as two ships passing in the night. But creating environments where we can sit down and we really can communicate about what it is that's on their heart. Asking children questions like, how's your heart? How are we doing? How am I doing as your dad? Do you feel like we're close? Do you feel like I could be doing something better? We want to make sure we're communicating in this way. And to have that open atmosphere where we can communicate in that way, it means that we have to communicate to our family that they are more important to you and I than our entertainment, our TV, our movies, our video games, our work, or anything else. Your family has to know they have a VIP access to your life that nobody else has. And that's just the way it's got to be. Listen, I've got 18 short years with my kids. I am not going to get to the end of their time under my influence and say, boy, I wish I would have traveled more. I wish I would have preached more. I wish I would have counseled more. I wish I would have missed more family nights. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. I'm not going to say any one of those things. And I hope I don't look around and say, I wish I would have been home more. I wish I would have had more family nights. I wish I would have had more one-on-one dates. I wish I would have had more time with Joseph and Mariah and Lydia and Annalene. I don't want that regret. And I want environments like this that challenge me as a man and as a husband, as a dad, to assess my life and say, where's my time going? Am I spending the time necessary to create the environment where my children and I can connect? Do they know they're important to me? Do they know they have VIP access? Do they know I'll drop everything and spend time with them because they are important? Have you ever gotten God at a bad time? No. And that's what's so amazing about God. He always has time. He's always available. And I understand in our finite wisdom and strength, that we may not bat 1,000. But with our family, we want to do the best we can to convince them of their importance and to have that relationship with them and keep it open for sharing and openness. That's a foundation we have to have. Fun and humor, sharing and openness. And then number 4, a foundation of conflict resolution. The foundation of conflict resolution. Now, what are we trying to do? We're trying to create an environment of positive communication. How can we communicate positively, constructively, beneficially in our homes? And we've got to have some foundations. Last Sunday, we looked at what not to have, and we were exposed to some character traits that we may need to weed out from our own lives and from our home. But now we're looking at, what do we need in the foundation? What building blocks do we need? What tools do we have to have in order to communicate as we should? And a family must have the foundation of conflict resolution. Every marriage in this room is going to deal with conflict. Don't think this morning as you sit here with maybe some conflict in the back of your mind, like, well, it's only us Brother Gabe is talking to. Wrong. I'm talking to everybody in the room and especially me. Why? Every marriage is going to have conflict. You know what my marriage is? It's a lifelong commitment between an imperfect man and an imperfect woman to be together for life. You know what that means as a result? Problems. That's what it means. Man, I thought marriage was good. It's awesome. It's incredible. It's wonderful. But the reality is, there's going to be some problems. There's going to be days, and I know this is hard to believe, where I'm just a jerk. Yeah. Thank you. That's the reality. And Susanna's thinking, what in the world, you know? And we don't want that, but we're going to face some problems. Every relationship's going to face some conflict. And if you've got a family, you're going to face some conflict. In fact, if you've got children on top of your marriage, you're for sure going to face some conflict. It's just the way it is. It's life. But successful family deal with their problems. Listen. Sometimes in a class, in a church environment, we look around the room and we think, man, if I had what they had, if we were like they were, boy, we wouldn't have any problems at all. It's not about who has problems and who doesn't. Everybody in the room has problems. The difference is successful families deal with their problems. Unsuccessful, dysfunctional families don't. They don't talk. They don't confront. They don't deal with. They just continue to put it under the rug and move on and then wonder why they can't get the door open in the morning. Successful families roll up their sleeves when there's a problem and they dig in. And they lose sleep and they invest prayer and they invest energy and they go to the wall and they go into the darts and they do whatever it takes over and over again to make sure home is a place where conflict is resolved. Where we are not going to live in the same house where we could cut the tension with the knife, walk by each other and don't even look at each other, feel disgusted at one another, and just continue living like that like it's okay. But determined that if our marriage is a gift from God and that the children in which we hold are God's gift to our lives, we're not going to live that way. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. Yes, we're going to have problems. Yes, we're going to face some challenges, but we're going to resolve that conflict. Now, how do we do that? Well, let me give you some important principles to help you resolve conflicts in your marriage and your family. Number one, or letter A, deal with conflicts on a daily basis. Deal with conflicts on a daily basis. A great passage in Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now, Ephesians 4 tells us, be honest about your anger. You're going to be angry sometimes. Be angry and sin not. We know that the Lord at times was full of wrath about a particular situation. And so there may be a time in which we are angry, but we need to be honest about it. And we need to know how to express the way we feel in a healthy way. We've talked about it before, but that doesn't mean raise your voice. It doesn't mean call names. It doesn't mean curse. It doesn't mean punch a hole in the wall. It doesn't mean throw something across the room. It doesn't mean jump in a car and leave and nobody knows where you're going. None of those are healthy ways to express I'm angry. Those are all ways to express I have no control. Big difference. Okay? Because it's possible for a person to be angry and under complete control. Be angry and sin not. Expressing the anger in a healthy way. And we need to express that anger every day. Don't let it build up. I love this thought. Yesterday's anger is one of the most destructive forces to the family. Yesterday's anger is one of the most destructive forces to the family. Yesterday's anger. Unresolved conflict. Stuff that just didn't get taken care of. Listen, class, life's too short. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Last night at 10 p.m., I was in room 225 of the Alamo Valley Hospital. And I stood at the bedside of Mrs. Shirley Campbell as Brother Ron, her husband of 53 years, grabbed her left arm and knelt down and put his face right next to hers. And he began to whisper to Shirley, "Shirley, I love you. And I would love to continue living life with you, but the Lord loves you more. And if God wants you, I'm okay with that. I want you to rest and be at peace." 10 minutes later, she slipped into eternity and is in heaven this morning. I've been at a lot of bedsides. I've been at a lot of moments of death. I don't know that I've ever seen anyone handle it better than Brother Ron Campbell. It was evident he was a man of faith. It was evident he knew where she was going. And it was evident their relationship was strong. He wasn't trying to confess. He wasn't trying to make things right. There wasn't a lot of emotion and pleading and just regrets. There was just a man reminiscing about a life well lived and honor pleasing to the Lord. Listen, none of us in this room have a guarantee of tomorrow. Life is too short. I don't know what you're facing in your relationship right now, but I want to tell you something in love. If you're in conflict right now with your spouse or your kids, don't pillow your head tonight without doing something about it. And it may be a big problem. And it may not be completely cleared up by the time you go to bed. But hopefully you've communicated you want it cleared up and you begin to take the right steps. Resolve conflict on a daily basis. Don't let it linger. You say, "Brother Rule, we want to resolve conflict. We don't know how." Ask. Well, we've got some good leaders in our class. We've got some people who love God. We've got some people that are really good at fighting. So just let us know. And we'll help you along the way. But deal with conflicts on a daily basis. And I'm just teasing. Let it be. Deal with conflicts in a positive manner. Colossians 4:6. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Every encounter with a family member should begin with an affirmation. Tell your family members you love them. Husbands, wives, don't berate your spouse. Don't berate them. "Man, Brother Rule said we need to communicate, so sit down and I'm going to tell you right now all the things that are wrong with you." I mean, who in the world wants to come home to that? It's common sense. Be positive. Hey, everybody's got problems. It's not about who has problems and who doesn't. It's how you deal with them. So deal with conflict in a positive manner. Begin with affirmation. Spouses should strive to affirm one another. Yes, you need to resolve. But in doing that, you need to state your love, your admiration one for another, and your commitment one to another. "Honey, I love you. I think you're amazing. I'm not going anywhere. But when you do this, it bothers me." And then deal with it. But affirm, love, admiration, commitment. Keep it positive with your children. Affirm in your children what's being stated in your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Mature Christians have the ability to take big problems and make them small and manageable. But immature Christians should take the smallest itty-bitsy problem and make it like World War III. A soft answer turneth away wrath. but grievous words stir up anger. Deal with conflicts in a positive manner. Stay topside. Deal with the conflicts with your spouse and your children the way you want God to deal with you when you mess up. That's the bar. How do you want to be treated by the Lord? That's the way we should be treating each other. Deal with it in a positive manner. Let us see. Confront in a humble manner. James 4:7. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. When addressing an issue with a family member, your number one goal is to resolve the problem. And listen, sometimes we might be the problem. I've done enough couple counseling that when I'm sitting across a desk from a couple and it's all one person's fault, I know the other person is a liar. It's okay. My name is Gabe and I'm your friend. Because there's pride. Listen, I've been doing this long enough. It's never just one person's fault. There's always something somebody could be doing to make it better. And when we come to resolution in our homes, it cannot be, well, it's about time you figure that out. Here's 10 more things you need to be doing. It can't be that. It needs to be, honey, here's something I need to work on. You know, honey, here's something I need to work on. There needs to be a humble approach. Pride is one of the most deadly forces in a relationship. Pride doesn't want to make peace. It wants to rule. It isn't willing to accept fault, but it demands that others accept the blame for what they're doing. Pride says, my intentions are okay, but blames the others for their lack of production. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Why? Because their feet were dirty. And he challenges you and I to follow that example, to serve one another, to conflict resolve by crucifying self, being humble and going with a humble spirit one to another. The Bible says in Matthew 20, and whosoever will be a chief among you, let him be your servant. Husbands and wives, serve one another. Moms and dads, serve your kids. And when it comes to resolving conflict in your home, be sure to do it in a humble manner. Be willing to communicate. Here's what I need to work on, and let's work on some things together. Humility. We need to lead our homes with humility. Letter D, and we're hastening. Listen. How can we resolve conflict? Listen. We've got to get good at listening. Listen to this, class. If we're so threatened that we will not sit down with someone like our spouse or our children and listen to what they think about us, even if it's constructive criticism, there's something wrong with us. We've got to be willing to listen to people. Listen, my wife knows me better than any human on the planet. If I get up here and say that I want to be a good husband and father, but then won't sit down at a Starbucks table and say, honey, what could I do better? I'm a fraud. I'm a joke is what I am. There's no reality in that. But I've got to work at listening. And everyone in this room, we've got to listen. And we've got to listen to those who know us best. And yes, there needs to be a humble approach. And yes, it needs to be in a positive manner. And if you put all the principles together, you'll have something that works. And you can listen one to another. And you can help one another get better. And every man needs to ask his wife, honey, is there something I could be doing better? Every wife needs to ask her husband, honey, is there something I could be doing better? We need to listen to one another and to ask one another for that kind of feedback. The reason some families never resolve conflict is because they won't listen to one another. And there's some husbands and wives, I have no doubt, in a gathering this size right now saying, I just wish my spouse would listen to me. Listen, listen, listen one to another. The Bible says in James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. It's like our grandmothers told us, right? God gave us two ears, one mouth. More listening. We need to listen. And then in closing, letter E, resolve the issue. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. At the end of every conversation, it's important that we don't finish by stomping off or making a negative comment or stating to our family, well, I hope next time you won't do this or you'll remember this or whatever. Listen, we need to really resolve the issue. You need to be able to look at your spouse in the eye and say, honey, are we good? Is this taken care of? Can we forgive one another? It should be oft spoken in our homes. I'm sorry. I forgive you. I'm sorry. I forgive you. True forgiveness means I won't bring this up in the future and I won't take it out on you in a negative way. I am dying to my desire for retaliation. That is true forgiveness. And you know, the greatest way to cultivate that forgiveness and to bring our issues to final resolve is through prayer. Prayer together creates a bond between us that is greater than us. It is a bond between us that invites God into the situation to heal our hurt and to give us the strength for change and to prevent it from coming up again. The old saying is true. The family that prays together stays together. So we need positive communication. What do we need? We need fun and humor. Have a good time with your family. We need an environment where we can be honest, sharing how we feel so that we can get better. And then we need to resolve conflict. Listen, every home in this room represented has something in common. We all have conflict. But we want to get good at resolving that conflict. So let's take these simple steps today that we've learned and apply them to our lives, our marriages, and our homes and say, God, would you help us to resolve our conflict? Help us to work through things together as a family in a way that brings you honor and glory. And I pray that these biblical truths will strengthen our homes and families because America and Lancaster and Palmdale need us to be strong and then nurturing children in the admonition of the Lord. We're going to pray and dismiss, and then moms on the way out, we have a gift for you that we want you to get. We want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. Let's work this week at having a positive environment and atmosphere in our home. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time around your word this morning. Lord, it is so great to be in His design. Thank you for everyone that's here, our guests today. Lord, we're so thankful for them. Those, Lord, that are a newer member of our class, we pray, Lord, your blessing on their family. And Lord, we pray that you'd help all of us this week to work at creating a positive environment in our home. Lord, may our home bring you honor and glory. And all of us today, whether we heard nothing new, but maybe just reminded of a principle, or maybe today we got a couple of ideas, help us to have the courage to go home and try it out, to implement what we're learning from your word, that we might take the risk and strengthen our home. Lord, I pray your blessings on every home here. Bring us back safely next week as we continue in this series, and we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.